have been in the Krishna consciousness process, practicing Bhakti Yoga for 3 years or more.
Koja od vas u Bhakti Yogi 3 godine ili više?
How many of you have sung this song for the very first time?
Koja od vas je pevao ovu pjesmu za prvi put?
It's actually a very, very beautiful song.
To je u stvari vrlo, vrlo lijepa pjesma.
Oh, okay. Translation is there in Croatian also, I think. No, it's not there. Okay. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the 6 Goswamis, namely Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians. You know what ruffians are? Yeah? Gundas, what's the word for ruffian?
Rubion.
Huh?
Rubion.
Rubion? With the Rubions. Because they are not envious of anyone. Nirmatsaro para, nirmatsar means not envious. Paramo nirmatsara anam sotam. And they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. So all of the 6 Goswamis were from very educated and very wealthy families. But they got the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and they were able at a certain age to renounce the material world and develop very divine qualities as pure devotees of the Lord, so much so that everyone loved them, because their heart was free from lust and anger and greed and envy. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the 6 Goswamis, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the 3 worlds, and they're worth taking shelter of because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So this is one way in which we can understand an advanced soul in spiritual life, that he is absorbed in constantly hearing about and discussing with others about the glories of the Lord. The comparison has sometimes been made with someone who is a drug addict. All they can think about is getting their next drugs. So a pure devotee, all he can think about day and night is associating with the Lord. And the 6 Goswamis, they studied all the revealed scriptures. They were very scholarly. And they wanted to benefit Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu. A saintly person wants to see people in the world happy. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was a saintly person. So he had no motive in coming to the West. He was 70 years old. He was a very highly respected scholar in Vrindavan. He had his own living quarters right at the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami in Radha Damodar Temple. And he was very satisfied. But he wanted to share his joy with others. He wanted to share his love with others. And therefore he came to the West at great physical, with great physical difficulty. So the six Goswamis, they were also in that mood. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who are very much enriched in understanding of Lord Chaitanya, and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are the saviors of the living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. So the six Goswamis were all trained by Lord Chaitanya, and in the 8 verses left by Lord Chaitanya, in the very first verse, he discriminates between material happiness, which is called sukh and dukkha, or the duality of pain and pleasure, happiness and distress, heat and cold, good and bad, beginning and end. This whole world is a world of duality. So we experience what we think is happiness when there is the absence of distress. And our happiness and distress are based upon the external situation in the material world, which we can't control. Nobody wants bad things to happen, but they're always happening without our wanting them. And we can't even control in our own body the little pains and pleasures that we experience. We can't, if we get a toothache. There was one so-called Swami who went to America and tried to, at the conference,
Translation.
Oh, you want translation? Okay.
Some other people.
Huh?
Many other
people. Oh, okay, fine. I didn't know that. Nobody instructed me. Now, depending on how many people there are, the best system is if they sit in a corner and someone translates
for them.
Sure.
Tamo u jedan čošak ti mogu sjesti ovdje i Nityananda Ram tamo može kući.
Ili hodni.
I'll tell you one of the reasons why it's best, because otherwise whatever I have to say is going to take twice as long and we'll be here twice as late. Which is no problem for me.
Ako ne bude tako sve što imam za reći, bit će duplo, ono će duplo duže trajati. Ako
But if we have translation in one corner...
Dobro, to je vrlo lako riješiti. Vi koji znate engleski, pomacate se naprijed. Ovi koji ne znaju, učite unutra i jedan onda će sjeti čoši. I to je riješiti. Učite
Who is our translator? Can you understand my language? Is it slow enough and clear?
Very good.
Okay. Do you read me? So, are we ready? Do they need any background translation?
Maybe.
Okay. So, Lord Chaitanya, in his Sikshastakam, describes the real standard of happiness. He says, Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Anandam Buddhivardhanam means an ever-increasing ocean of joy, of bliss. Material happiness means up to a certain stage happiness and then misery. And then happiness and then misery and then death. I used to have on my suitcase a sticker, you know, Americans always had they called them bumper stickers. Do you have bumper stickers here? On the back of your car you put, they have so many bumper stickers in America. So, one I got from Trivikram Swami, it was really good. In America, there are, in many parts of the world, there are a group of people who are fanatic about their religion. And they have a concept that there's only one life, and then either you go to heaven eternally or you go to hell eternally. If you've been a good boy, then you go to heaven. And if you didn't love their guru, then you go to hell. Eternally. So, when we talk about reincarnation, they get very upset. Although, if you look in their own history and their own scripture, the teaching of rebirth is there. So anyway, Trivikram gave me this sticker which I had on my suitcase and I was very proud of it. It said, born again, and again, and again, and again. Because these people call themselves the born again Christians. But another sticker I had, it said, life is tough, then you die. So it's kind of like that. Life is a series of struggles. Some good days, some bad days. And then death, without any real meaning. But here the definition of happiness is an ever-increasing ocean of joy. And saintly persons like the six Goswamis are expert in helping us to enter into that ocean of joy. They know that this is the real solution to the problems that we experience. The only real problem that we have is a spiritual problem. Because we identify with the body, therefore we're not able to experience the joy of the soul. The soul is a tiny particle of God, equal to God in quality but not in quantity. So being equal in quality, God is always blissful, and we are also meant to be always blissful. So we should get angry. Why am I not always blissful? I'm a spirit soul. What's happening here? I want to complain. It's an embarrassment. The soul is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And the body is Asat, Achit, and Nir Ananda. It is temporary, full of ignorance and full of suffering. So the six Goswamis, they are our best friends. And devotees like them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. The six Goswamis, as I said, many of them were from very high-class families, very wealthy families. But they weren't interested in that life. You can see that the whole world practically either worships America or envies America. Either they want to copy Americans, or they want to steal what America has, one way or the other. But let's look at America. They have more money than anyone. They have very good form, they have very good karma in the form of nice bodies. They have all kinds of facilities to spend their money on. For example, in India, sometimes you'll find a very wealthy man. But there's nothing to spend your money on. They have to go to America for their holidays. So America has all these facilities for material enjoyment. But they also have more problems than anyone. There is more crime, more suicide, more broken families, more unhappiness than anywhere. So this so-called aristocracy and high birth is not a qualification for becoming happy. The six Goswamis, in order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants. But they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna, and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. So this is a very intimate song, and it is talking about God as being a person. This is a very logical and intelligent conclusion. It's not just some wishful thinking on our part. It is not anthropomorphism. You know that anthropomorphism where you project some idea on something? Some people say that because we have got bodies, because we have got individual personality, we are projecting that on God. But that's not true. The very first verse of the Isha Upanishad logically explains how God is a person. The Isha Upanishad is one of the very first of the Upanishads, and it has to do with the proprietorship of all things. So, Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishate. The supreme truth known as Omkara, or another name for Krishna is Omkara, is perfect and complete. And everything that comes from him is also perfect and complete. Everything is within God. There's nothing outside of God or beyond God. And everything is everything that comes from him as his expansion is complete in itself, although at the same time Krishna remains the complete balance. You can't add up everything and have it equal Krishna. The arithmetic used is 1 minus 1 equals 1. If I have 5 apples and I give 1 to Mayapur, then I only have 4. That is material arithmetic. But in Krishna, even though so many living beings are emanating from him, there's nothing lost. So because everything that emanates from him is complete, it must have everything that the source has. The product, the byproduct, cannot be less than the source. I'm sorry, I got it the other way around. The source cannot be less than the byproduct. So we are persons. We're all individuals. So therefore God must also be an individual. He can't be less than we are. In fact, sometimes people argue that if you try to make God a person, you put a limit on him. Because everybody that we know who is a person in this world appears to be limited. And the closer you get to them, the more you realize their limitations. In any relationship, it's like that. The closer you get, intimacy breeds contempt. You begin to see that they have many more faults than you thought they had originally. So, Krishna is not like that. Krishna is a transcendental person. And he has activities. And he has devotees in the spiritual world. And his most intimate devotees are called gopis. They have very intense love, just like the love that a woman has for her paramour, her lover. She may belong to a family, I mean, she has a family, she has children, but somehow she develops a relationship with a lover. She doesn't want her family to know, so she may do her household duties very nicely. But all the time during the day she's thinking, when can I sneak out in the night and be with my lover? So the gopis, they're always thinking, when can I be with Krishna? At every moment. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who lived in the village of Vrindavan in India, they accepted a very renounced form of life. They had no clothes except for something to cover their lower parts, their genitals. This is called a loincloth or kopina. And they lived very austerely. The six Goswamis would sleep on the ground. They would sleep under a tree. But they wouldn't sleep under the same tree every night. so that they wouldn't get attached thinking, now this is my tree. They would look for a new tree. Now they were showing us that they were experiencing pleasure, but not a pleasure of this world, because they had no toys. They had none of the things that we keep. They had no televisions. They had no surfboards. They didn't go skiing. They didn't see Star Wars. They weren't interested, but they were always blissful. They were always experiencing joy. Where was that joy coming from? It was coming from their being immersed in the ocean, drowned. They were drowning in the ocean of love of Krishna. And they demonstrated this for us, for our benefit. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis who were always engaged in worshipping Radha Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where there are beautiful trees full of fruits and flowers which have under their roots all valuable jewels. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon the living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. So you can take this literally, or you can take it figuratively, symbolically. The beautiful trees in Vrindavan can yield the highest fruits or the valuable gem of love of God. Or you can accept it literally that if you have faith, if you can see Vrindavan, in other words, you can't travel to Vrindavan by getting on a train and going 90 miles from Delhi. Your eyes have to be anointed with the salve, with the ointment of love. You can't enter into the kingdom of God as an enemy. You start to enter the kingdom of God and, why have you come here? Well, I just wanted to check it out, see what it was like. It's not like that. Therefore, we actually practice here. We are not sadhus, but we are sadhakas. We are practicing how to love Krishna by developing relationships amongst each other, by assisting one another to worship the deity, by working together very lovingly and very cooperatively to assist the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So this is all devotional service in practice. When our heart is free from material contamination, then you can enter the kingdom of God. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis who are engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. So if you go to Vrindavan, you will see that people do parikrama, or they do walking around holy places. It's called circumambulation. That's a Latin word, you understand. Circumambulation. Okay. Or they call it parikrama. It's a form of respect and worship. Especially you'll see many sages and saintly persons and even ordinary householders doing parikrama of Govardhan Hill, which is a very holy place in Krishna's pastimes. So scheduled measurement means that they offer full obeisances, flat out. It's called dandavat. And they, in one spot, they'll do 100 obeisances. They'll offer obeisances, then they'll get up, then they'll do it again. And again, maybe 100 times. And they'll have a big pile of rocks to measure their progress, how many they've done and where they are. And then they'll move to the head again, and they'll move the rocks ahead. And like that, they'll go all the way around Vrindavan. It can take many, many days. Or some of the more renounced saintly persons, they do it practically all year long. So the six Goswamis used to practice this parikrama also. In this way, they utilized their valuable lives in executing these devotional activities, and they conquered over eating and sleeping, and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So the six Goswamis, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvayagunais Tatra Samasate Sura. A devotee, by his practice, by his austerity, by his constant association with the holy name, the vibration, he's gradually purified and he develops nice qualities, good qualities. And one of those qualities is to become humble. I think this quality is the what we call the crest jewel of all Vaishnava qualities. The crest jewel is the jewel that someone will wear on their turban, on their forehead. Someone may have a very valuable jewel in India. You'll be surprised to know that India was the very first place in the world to produce diamonds. And of course, the British stole billions of dollars worth of gems and jewels from India, and so many other invaders like the Persians and the French and the Portuguese. Otherwise, at the time of Marco Polo, when he returned to Europe from India, he returned with a huge quantity of spices and silks and jewels, and he talked about the incredible wealth of India.
So the six Goswamis were always very meek and humble, and it's such a nice quality to find in a devotee. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis who were sometimes on the bank of the Radhakund Lake or the shores of the Yamuna and sometimes at Vansivata. There they appeared just like madmen in full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So, a genuine spiritual experience can be so powerful that it affects one's entire psychology and physiology. We're not just singing and dancing out of some sentiment. The chanting of the names of God is extant in practically every religion in the world. But it is especially famous in India. And there is a profound philosophy, and that's very nice for those who have an inclination towards philosophy. But philosophy without some experience remains very dry and unattractive in comparison with intoxication, meat eating, gambling. Practically, there are no real philosophers or scholars in the world. None of them are able to control their senses. None of them are able to control their mind. They speak many flowery words, speculating on the truth. But you follow their lives, and you will see that they're absorbed in the same gross mundane activities as everybody else. They may be dean of the university, professor of the philosophy department, but their actual activities are just like dvipad pashu, two-legged animals. But we are so fortunate that Lord Chaitanya gave us philosophy, but he also gave us a powerful experience, which it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina. For one who is embodied, it is very difficult to give up the objects of the senses. It's not easy, especially in Kali Yuga. It's not easy. We all struggle with the four regulative principles. I don't know anyone here or anyone wherever I travel. I meet everybody. People struggle with these principles. They're meant to elevate us. Prasadam adigacchati, their regulative principles of freedom, they'll free us from our bondage to material life. These regulative principles, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and no gambling or frivolous sports or waste activities wasting our time. These are meant for our benefit, but it's hard for us. We're not accustomed to them. We haven't been trained or educated. But if we're able to get a higher taste, rasavajam rasopyasya param drishta nivartate, param drishta, param, a higher taste, something better than intoxication, something better than meat eating. That's why kirtan should always be given more importance.
Becoming an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, becoming a member of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, is something very, very special. There are hundreds of millions of devotees of Krishna in India. Many of them follow the regulative principles. Many of them offer their food to Krishna and eat Krishna prasadam. Many of them go to the temple either daily or twice weekly or weekly. But being part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission is it's not. We cannot understand how we have received such good fortune. It's basically causeless mercy. And of course we can accept or reject the opportunity, but it is my duty to inform you that you're not going to be able to escape. No matter how much you try. Because even once experiencing bliss of a kirtan like you have here this evening, we're all totally ruined for material life. It just won't taste the same anymore. Maybe you can cheat yourself for a little while. But you'll remember the ecstasy of kirtan again and again. So, again, as I said earlier on, very, very honored. I'm very pleased to come here and be with all of you this evening. How many of you are married?
Both of us here, Virginia.
You don't feel very young. How many of you are working? House life is also working.
Would you go to the bus station?
It is my observation that the Krishna consciousness movement, the Krishna consciousness culture will be successful when we have established congregational communities. And that is not to say that we don't need hardcore. We also need an ashram, and we need very dedicated brahmacharis, and in some cases ladies who set an example of renunciation. But for the most part, people will practice Krishna consciousness, as did most of or many of our acharyas. That is, as householders. So it's very nice that you have this congregational group here. You have organized yourself together, and I'm sure there's always so many expenses and things to be done for organization. And so I know that this nice hall here, is this your permanent hall? Yeah. So I know it didn't come about by accident. All of you have worked together nicely, cooperatively, either by doing some direct legal work or management work, or just by attending the programs or participating. So I hope you will all continue in this way, and don't think that you should get eaten up by Zagreb. Lord Chaitanya said, Stani Stita Sruti Gatam Tanuvan Manovir. Stay in your place, but wherever you are, come together with other devotees and chant the holy name. It's a very easy process, not difficult. There are some austerities, but they're actually not austerities. They're fun. It's just a question of your angle of vision. So, are there any, would anyone like to ask me any questions about anything? I can't tell you how many windows there are in the Empire State Building. But if you want to ask any questions about ISKCON, or about the philosophy or philosophy at all. And I'll try my best to. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Rečeno je da u šastrama sa promadraži pije ovu pjesmu u Vidovari 6 kaže da je Krišna kao osoba jako privlačan, zapravo Bhuvana Sundara Bhara, najljepši od svih tim verzijima.
He said that this song that Krishna is very attractive
to moje pitanje je, mi možemo vidjeti na slikama da je Krišna lijep.
We can see on pictures that Krishna is nice, beautiful.
Isto tako kad pijamo Maha Mantra, ako se skoncentriramo, možemo ponekad osjetiti možda nešto lijepo.
When we chant Maha Mantra, we can sometimes feel something nice if we concentrate.
No, ipak mi nemamo stvarno viziju Krišna.
But still we don't have a real vision of Krishna.
I onda ponekad smo privučeni ljepotom materijalnog svijeta.
Then we are sometimes attracted to beauty of material world.
Da li, moje pitanje je zapravo da li mi trebamo pokušati na silu stavljati Krišnu um,
put Krišna in the mind on force, by force.
Ili jednostavno možemo, kao što neki bhakte kažu, da nastavite prakticirati proces i taj ukus za Krišnu će doći.
Or just some devotees continue this process and this taste will come.
Je vidimo da ponekad
nije stalo. Prabhupada said that we should chant Hare Krishna and listen to the sound of the holy name. Once one of his servants, whose name was Kartikeya, was sitting outside Prabhupada's room, and he was sitting in front of a picture of Krishna, and he was chanting his round. But he seemed to be more absorbed in staring at the picture than chanting his rounds. So Prabhupada happened to come out of his room, and he lightly chastised him, corrected him, that he listened to the sound. There's no need for any artificial imposition on the mind, that famous lecture. Now, what has come up in the last couple of years, there is one sannyasi from India, who is in public talking to all kinds of devotees about what is known as rasika bhakti or ragaduga bhakti. As you all know, there are two stages of sadhana bhakti. One is called vaidhi, meaning rules and regulations. And the other is called raganuga, where the devotee no longer is inspired by rules and regulations, but spontaneously thinks of serving Krishna in any number of wonderful ways, which may not be even understood by people. So Basically, we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is an empowered preacher. He is not just another sannyasi from the Gaudiya
Math.
He was predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who suggested that very soon a powerful preacher will come and he will travel all over the world preaching Krishna consciousness unrestrictedly. There's no doubt that that person is Srila Prabhupada. He endeavored to work with his god brothers, but they were not willing to follow the instruction of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. In fact, you will be interested to know that unfortunate spiritual fall downs are not unique to
ISKCON.
The members of the Gaudiya Math did not maintain a GBC body, but they elected one Ananta Vasudev to be the head of the whole Gaudiya Math. And all of the different mutts, including anybody you could name, followed him. He fell down, stole money from the deities, and ran off with a young lady to Vrindavan. I don't know why he went to
Vrindavan.
Then they fought in court for 50 years. More than 50, actually, from the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta, which was 1936, they fought in court at least from 1940 onwards. You can say 60 years, 50, 60 years. None of them came forward to help Srila Prabhupada. Although now that Prabhupada is gone, they're all coming to say, Prabhupada was my best friend, Prabhupada wanted me to come. Actually, I inspired Prabhupada to come. It was by my encouragement. So, as far as Srila Prabhupada's teachings go, this Raganuga Bhakti is a very, very advanced stage. And it will be revealed to the devotee internally at the proper time. There is a book called Prakrita Rasa, means materialistic, rasa means mellow. Prakrita Rasa Dasas, Shatadushani. It's a book by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And there he heavily condemns anyone who is not completely free from all lustful desires and who attempts to practice Rasika Bhakta. So we are servants. The highest the most important thing in your spiritual life is your devotion to the order of your spiritual master. Because by following the order of the spiritual master, yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau tasya ite katita hyartha prakashante mahatma. All the purports of the Vedic literature will be revealed to you. You learned about Krishna from the spiritual master. In this case, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's servants. And by following Srila Prabhupada, you will attain all success completely. So, we are not overly concerned with this making a show of external practice of Rasika Bhakti. Now, here's another statement made by Srila Prabhupada. It's a little harder to understand, but you have to have a broad vision. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who was intensely involved in publishing and distributing Prabhupada's books, he was the main man in the BBT. His name was Rameshwar. So he was known to say anything to get devotees inspired to distribute books. But one time he made a statement that our understanding of Rasika Bhakti is that we are assisting Lord Chaitanya by distributing books and bringing people to Krishna. So Nandalal, who was the secretary of the BBT at that time, she wrote to Prabhupada, and that letter's there on folio. Asking whether that was true. And Prabhupada wrote back, yes, what Rameshwar has said is the correct understanding. In other words,
like Lord Ramchandra engaged monkeys to cross over to Sri Lanka and to defeat Ravana. So we are Srila Prabhupada's, Lord Chaitanya's monkeys. And we are being engaged in the highest service. And when it is the right time for us, Prabhupada told one of the book distributors that you will be out on the street distributing books and you will turn around and all of a sudden there will be Krishna. So when it is the right time, you won't need to be told by some external person. So you don't need to artificially try to think of Krishna. You should read stories about Krishna. You should talk about Krishna as much as you can. Those things are within your control. But it's not like in the West sometimes when someone has insomnia, they're told to try to close their eyes and see sheep dancing in front of them. You have to try and count the sheep. And that will put you to sleep. So it's not like you're supposed to close your eyes and count gopis dancing in front of
you.
Talk about Krishna, talk about Krishna, read books about Krishna, by all means. But don't be disturbed because, you know, you didn't. It happens all the time in India. These really enthusiastic Indian life members will come up and say, "I saw Krishna last night." You know, and they'll tell you some story about what happened. They saw Krishna. They realized that they were Krishna. If you ever see Krishna even once, there will never be a time when you won't see him again. Because that memory will be so strong, that impression will be so strong. So we're members of, we're Prabhupada Nugas, basically. We've made some mistakes, but we've also made some progress. And I think I recommend for everybody that if you want to be very secure in your spiritual life, then stick with Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada left us, but so will all these people leave us very soon. They're all in their 80s and
mostly late 70s and 80s. And what will they leave? They criticized Srila Prabhupada for organizing this one sannyasi from Vrindavan, heavily criticizes ISKCON, and who says that Prabhupada had his devotees organize farms and schools and temples because they were less intelligent. What he really wanted to teach them was to go to Radha Kund and do bhajan. Because that's what he did. He left to go to Yamad and went to Radha Kund, and then his spiritual master had to go and drag him back. But Srila Prabhupada was very practical. He was very conservative. Srila Prabhupada lived with us. Srila Prabhupada served us. He personally cooked for us. He personally trained devotees. Now, if you go, you just visit some of these months in India, you may have got your first initiation or whatever it is from so-and-so Maharaj. You go to their mat, you're still a malecha to them. You'll be lucky if you're allowed to clean their toilets. And I'm not exaggerating, actually. Devotees have returned But Prabhupada established his movement by living right with us. He was an aristocratic gentleman, and we were gross hippies who had no standards. But he loved us so much that he trained us to be pujaris, to be cooks, encouraged women to do all kinds of service. He was an ocean of love, compassion. And he had a broad vision. He saw things in terms of our eternal spiritual lives. Any little good quality he could see in us, he would fan it. A little spark of good quality, fan the spark, so it would grow. So I think it's best if you stick with Srila Prabhupada. Even if you have to wait to see Krishna.
You mentioned that once when you see Krishna, you can never
forget. We'll never not see him again.
We see in Shastras that many devotees saw Krishna and then he left and they didn't
You're
see
talking
him.
About Narad Muni. Yeah. I don't know if many others.
And also Srila Prabhupada said that he saw Krishna when he had a heart attack on the Dhamma-dhukha-ship.
I kind of think that Prabhupada said that Krishna extended his life. He should have died on the heart of, on the ship. And my estimation is, Prabhupada also said there was never a time when I did not see Krishna. I kind of think that Srila Prabhupada was a Vaikuntha man, and that
the Prabhupada or Vaikuntha.
He was always seeing Krishna. Now, that may not mean that while he's engaged in preaching in this material world, that he was not, you know, he was like blind and bumping into things because he was actually somewhere else. He was constantly seeing Krishna because he was seeing everything as belonging to Krishna. And at times Krishna would come to him personally, or at times Srila Prabhupada would get absorbed in ecstasy, just like this Jairadha Madhava prayer. Prabhupada sang it once in Mayapur, and he choked up. He got caught in the middle of the bhajan thinking of Krishna, and he became stunned. He was sitting on the Vyasasana and was silent for about a minute. It was the longest minute ever. The devotees were just sitting there. And Prabhupada's tears were gliding down his eyes and just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, Hansa Guru started chanting. Prabhupada came out of his trance. And there were other instances like that. So, I think that he could see, you know, he had access to Krishna whenever he wanted. His whole life.
rekao si nam je da mi bakte trebamo gledati i povučivati dobre osobine. Međutim, upravo događa se to da vidimo nedostatke i toliko recimo vidimo negativne stvari. I koja je pozadina uopće toga, zbog čega je to tako?
You said that we should try to wake up on good qualities. But we also see many bad things, and
we should put them to sleep.
What is the background?
What is the background?
Yes.
I don't understand the background.
Što znači koja je pozadina? Zašto vidimo loše stvari u drugim? Why do we see bad things in other people? What is the background of that?
Well, one answer is that if you want to see faults in others, then you'll see faults. And if you want to see Krishna, you'll find Krishna. If you know everybody, for example, an uttama adhikari, the topmost devotee.